Well, it's the start of a new year. Yay. Blah, 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 blah. Do you notice that my voice is a little bit different? Yeah, on the 30th, I had a scratchy throat. Now, you know, now I got a little cold going on. It's on its way out, but what a way to start the new year. I was looking forward to having a happy and healthy new year. Happy, I'm not sure. Healthy, not so far.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh, boy.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Get ready.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Pleasure. Oh, my chair is squeaky. Can you hear that? That's my chair. I've got to oil it. I don't know how to oil things. I have a little can of, like, oil grease stuff. I don't know where to squirt it. I have no idea where to squirt these things. I have a squirting deficiency. I don't know what that meant, by the way, but didn't sound right as I was saying it. My voice probably doesn't sound proper. I don't know what's going on. I'm probably going to lose my voice in the next few days, and then I'm going to lose my house, and then I'm going to lose all my possessions. I mean, this is the way this works with a cold, when I get a cold. I got a flu shot back in August, which I think was too early because I don't think they understood what the strain was. I didn't get the flu. I didn't have a temperature or anything, but all of a sudden my voice got really, my throat got very raspy. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, this isn't allergies. This is it. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. Get the troops together and let's stamp out this thing that you call a cold. I think I got a cold because so many people were saying cold. Is it cold enough for you? Is it cold? It's cold out, isn't it? It's cold. It's cold. No. Don't say that so much. I'm going to get a cold. And I did. Now, most of you know, if you've ever had a cold in your whole life, which I think most of you do on an annual basis, it sounds worse toward the end. And that's where I'm at. I've been through 2 full boxes of tissues. It's funny thing about blowing your nose. As soon as you blow it, 10 seconds later, it's time to blow again. So, like, what's the point? Why even bother? You show me how blowing my nose makes it better for me. It doesn't make any difference. My body is producing this stuff like at alarming rates. I could blow my nose from now till next Thursday, go through like 5 skids of tissues, wouldn't make a difference. People tell me, Ron, you know, the cold just has to work its way out. Well, that's what I'm letting it do. In the meantime, I'm on all kinds of cold medications. I've shoved various things up my ass, figuring that would help somehow, like shock it out of my system where the cold would say, oh, you're going to start shoving things, I'm out of here. Apparently, my cold is very resilient. I'm not sneezing really at all. That's the odd part. There's no sneezing involved, so I don't even know what I have. I do have allergies, but I don't know how I can have an allergy when it's 0 degrees outside. What am I allergic to? The cold? I mean, like, There's no pollen. Pollen would be frozen. So I don't know what this is. I have no idea. All I know is no touching today. Usually when I do this show, we touch in places that I find acceptable. Society may not. But no touching today. No touching. And I have to breathe a little bit heavier because my my respiratory system is affected by this, which means I really shouldn't be talking very much. Well, Ron, why are you doing this at all? Because I get paid to do it. That's how I make my money. Anyway, oddly enough, and fortunately enough, just before New Year's, I did an interview like a couple of days ago with a gentleman, Elon Greenfield. He wrote a book about Jerusalem. I found it interesting because, as you know, this president guy, Trunk, whatever his name is, he declares, like some kind of king that he thinks he is, he declares Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel. And everybody said, I did not know that a president of the United States can go declaring capitals of other countries. What are you talking about? But it caused a lot of unrest in the Middle East around the Jerusalem deal, because a lot of countries claim Jerusalem as being their holy city. It's odd that religion causes the most danger and tension, but whatever. What am I to do about it? Trump did say when he was inaugurated that he would be solving the Israeli conflict. And this is how he does it, apparently. Anyway, so there was some unrest in the Jerusalem, in the greater Jerusalem area, in the greater downtown Jerusalem area, near the Jerusalem Hilton, I don't know where, near the downtown area. And so I had a very interesting conversation with this author. He loves his country. Israelis love their country. They protect it so much. They love it so much. They believe it is theirs. And that's the problem. The other countries around them also think that Jerusalem is theirs too. It's like a couple ladies going into a department store and all claiming that they saw that pair of jeans first. That analogy was actually very stupid, but it's all I had at the time, and I don't plan these things. That's what came out of my mouth. I tried to discuss the stupidity of the Trump administration, and this author very distinctly said, we love Jerusalem, it is ours, and we applaud what Trump did. I said, well, fine. Anyway, so we had a couple of words back and forth, and you'll find this interview to be quite interesting. It'll be coming up rather shortly from now, but it does save me from talking for a long time on today's episode because I really should be resting my voice. Tomorrow I hope to be back in full swing again when I can just make fun of everything and talk incessantly. That should be fun, but for today, not so much. So thank you for understanding. And again, no touching today. I don't want you to touch me. As a matter of fact, I would keep about 6 to 7 feet away from the speaker right now because I don't know what's going to come through that thing. I don't think I have germs or anything like that. I think my gestation period, my Justin Bieber period has, I wonder if Justin Bieber has a period. I think he does. He tries to be so butch, but I consider him very, very feminine-like. I don't think he has any body hair. Well, he's only 10 years old, so what do you expect? Anyway, I don't even know what I was talking about. Whatever. I got to take a sip of water, so just hold on a second. Oh, man, this is awful. I'm taking all kinds of stuff. I tried Mucinex. That's supposed to break up the mucus. All right, mucus, break it up. There's nothing to see here. Go home. Doesn't work. Nothing works. Nothing really works. I think psychologically, you know, if you think, oh, I took a pill, now I'm feeling better. You're not feeling better. The pill didn't do anything for you. You can't do anything with a cold. Doctors don't even, you know, say, oh, take, you watch the commercials, take coldies, take, and make the duration of the cold shorter, and take this, and Dristan nasal mist, and all this kind of crap. And it doesn't, all that stuff does absolutely nothing. That does absolutely nothing but put amount of drugs in your system.
You know, we can't all be quite as cool as Ron Van Dam.
No.
But then again, most of us haven't had quite as long to work on it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Hey, that was low. I did something kind of weird. I have an exercise bike, a stationary bicycle, an incumbent. It's incumbent upon me to get on the bike. I don't know what you call that thing. It doesn't go anywhere, in other words. I pedal like crazy, and I go absolutely nowhere. It is a place frequently to hang my coats and my shirts and sometimes my pants. But at the end of the calendar year, which was a couple of days ago, I decided to move my stationary bicycle into my bedroom. I figured that way, if the damn thing is in my face every day, there's no way I won't exercise. Well, it's been 2 days since that stationary bicycle has been in my bedroom, and my pants are very happy that they're hanging comfortably. No, I haven't gotten on the bike yet. I plan to do so. See, now I have an excuse because I have this little sniffles cold. So I'm figuring my respiratory system really shouldn't be tested yet, so I should not get on that bicycle. I have it facing a TV, by the way, so I don't fall asleep while I'm pedaling to nowhere. It's a shame that the bicycle doesn't actually move, but then again, if it did, I know I wouldn't get on it. I'd just drive to wherever I had to go. So this stationary bike idea is not so bad. As I do get a little bit older, I'm now 22. I'm sorry, I can't help it. As I do get a little bit older, my joints get a little bit stiff. The one joint I would like to get stiff isn't so much stiff anymore. So I figure, it's the way it works. Everything you want isn't there. Everything that you don't want shows up. It's odd. It's an odd part of life, ladies and gentlemen, which you shall understand as you creep older yourself. It's what I love about young people. They look so young. I see young people walking around. They have their whole lives in front of them, but then they don't. And so I look at them and I go, ooh, you don't understand anything. You don't understand. You're going to be where I am very, very soon, because I'm not that far ahead of you, really. And then you're going to look back and you're going to look at the other young people walking around. You're going to say the same thing I did. So that's just a, you know. Now, if young people lived a lot longer than I probably will, then I would be very upset, figuring, well, what's going on here? But no, I think you're going to be in the same boat as me. I think you'd be worse off than me, as a matter of fact. Because all you young people, you youngins.
Ron, you sound like a grumpy old man.
All you youngins will eventually kill yourselves. Oh, yeah. You're all going to get crotch cancer from your cell phones. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody that puts a cell phone in their pocket, you're going to get crotch cancer. And you think that that's pleasant? It's not. It's a bad place to get that stuff. And you'll also get it around your head. You'll get the head cancer. Yeah, you will, because you're always holding that device up to your head. And you don't seem to realize that antennas are bombarding that little machine into your head all the time. So enjoy it while you can. I know it's fun, and you can browse the internet on it and Google, and you can do your Facebooking and all your little crap and play your little games. But as you're doing all of that 24 hours a day, signals are being bombarded into your body. You think the signals just go to your phone? No, sometimes they miss. They go right to your face. You'll see. And most of the data processing jobs sitting in front of a computer, you're all going to go blind by the time you're 50. You know you will, staring into a television screen all day. At least with a typewriter in the older days, from the prior generations, you were looking at paper and stuff like that and a mechanical machine. No, but this generation stares into television sets 24 hours a day, whether it be actual television, streaming something on a screen, or spending 9 to 5 at a job staring at a computer screen all day. You will all go blind. Glaucoma will be the new diabetes. I guarantee you it'll be the case. There's no question about it, actually. There's no question about it. You'll see. You'll see. Carpal tunnel? You have no idea how much carpal tunnel you'll be seeing. And for those that aren't familiar with carpal tunnel, it's when your wrists say, I've had enough of this crap. I can't poise myself in front of a keyboard anymore. It's time for me to break down. That's what your wrists are saying to you. That's what's going to happen to you. So you're going to be walking around with a crimped hand, with a limp wrist. You'll be basically blind from staring at a screen all day, and then you'll have crotch cancer. So I don't think you're going to be better off than me. I really don't think so. No, I don't. I don't think so. But Ron, we're eating so healthy. Yeah. Don't make me laugh. I see all the television shows with people eating healthy, and then I go out into the real world, and there are people lined up around the block at Popeye's Chicken, eating pizza and eating all these fried foods. Don't give me that crap. Most people are still not eating healthy. And if you live in the South, well, I'm sorry. I mean, is there anything not fried when you live in the South? I think everything is fried. Everything is deep fried. Not only fried, it's fried deep. Yeah, it's not in a saute pan. It's in a bucket of oil is what you're eating that crap in. Oh, enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your life, young kids. Have a good time. Then you got the vegans walking around. Pasty yellow people. Yeah, they won't eat anything that was ever alive. Which kind of limits your diet. So maybe someday, if you work up enough strength to pick up a pencil, you can write your own will, because you won't be living very long either. You'll have the strength of a shoelace. I'm telling you, it's not going to work out for anybody. It's just not. All right, fine. You know, I made the resolution before the end of the calendar year. And by the way, if you're one of those people that said to me on December 31st, I'll see you next year, I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you. I'm starting to make a list of people I just won't deal with. Oh, you can talk to me. I won't listen to you. I'll just walk away. I've had it. I don't have to put up with this crap anymore. No, I don't, and I'm not. This is the year of me. I know what I want. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. Don't mess with me. But I did decide before the end of the calendar year to be much more friendly and pleasant. So far, obviously, it's working out very well. Be more accepting of others. Love everybody. Don't touch them, but love them. You can lose your job if you touch people. Don't touch anybody ever. You have to wait for them to come at you for a hug. You can't go at them for a hug. That is harassment. Be very, very careful about that, guys. And girls, you be careful too. There's going to be lawsuits against women too coming up pretty soon, I guarantee you. There's going to be a tit for tit going on there. I don't know if that's the phrase. Tit for tat, tit, I don't know what it is. I have no idea what the phrases are anymore, because I don't care. Anyway, I'm going to be more pleasant, starting tomorrow. As soon as my cold is like totally out of my body, I will, at that point, be very, very pleasant. You'll be shocked. You'll say, that's not Ron. Ron was a mean, ornery-looking man. He was Mr. Grumpy on the radio. Do you remember him, Mr. Grumpy? We all loved Mr. Grumpy. He was the inner us who complained about things. We're not supposed to complain about things, but he seemed to complain about everything. We love that. Yeah. Well, that's going to change. I'm going to be Mr. Love. That will be my nickname. Ron Love Van Dam. That's good. That's what it's going to be. I'm going to spread love and germs, too. But mostly love. Actually, mostly germs. First germs, then a lot of love. That's what's going to happen here. Oh, yeah. I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. Okay, let's speak to our guest. Elon Greenfield. Now, this isn't just any normal conversation. Elon, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, is actually in Israel right now. Well, not right now. We did this. I'm making it sound like it was right now, but it's not. It was a few days ago that I spoke to him. But there's like an eight-hour time difference. So this had to be very carefully worked out. But this is a conversation I had with this author all the way from Israel. Elon Greenfield joins us now. There is a book that has been released called My Jerusalem, The Eternal City. And it is Elon is actually in Israel as we speak. Is that right?
That is right. I'm sitting in right by Jerusalem overlooking the Judean Hills.
Wow. Okay. Wonderful. You know, they're running a large number of television commercials to visit Jerusalem, showing people dancing around, having a great time, and the significance of the city. But it's being promoted greatly as a travel destination. Did you know that?
I knew that, and I think that hopefully our book will join that effort, and
yes.
Everybody who looks at the book will say, wow, I really have to go there next week.
Yes. So,
and Christmas is the right time.
It's the right time for every time is the right time, but yes, of course, there's also significance
You're
to
right.
that. But so what prompted you to do this book beyond the fact that you love Jerusalem?
I've been publishing books for 36 years at Geffen Publishing House, and the publishing house is based in Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And at the year that marks the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
I felt that it was time that we, as a Jerusalem-based publisher, would publish a book about Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And when I thought of what kind of a book I want to publish, I wanted to publish a very personal book. I wanted to publish the human side of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we chose the photographer, which is one of Israel's best photographers, Ziv Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to choose the photographs that really, that when you look at them, if you look through the pages, you almost can smell the scent of Jerusalem, and you can almost feel the people,
wow.
whether they're Jews, Muslims, Christians, mm-hmm. Israelis, Americans, or whatever. And alongside with that, we asked 47 people to write what my Jerusalem means to them. And we try to find people from different parts of the world and different religions, uh-huh. Jews and Christians.
Uh-huh.
And each one of them wrote a personal story. And I think it brings out something very beautiful and a very personal and a very human side of what Jerusalem is.
Interesting. Elon, have you ever lived in the United States?
I actually lived in the United States in 1968 as a kid
uh-huh.
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Army, I lived in California for 2 years
okay.
in Los Angeles.
All right. How do the two compare? I know it's been a while since you've lived here, but there are a lot of Jewish people in the United States that have no concept what Jerusalem is like.
I would say there are a lot of people all over the world who
oh,
don't
yes.
understand what the concept of Jerusalem is,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily Jews. And I think that, as I said, I hope that this book will prompt them to come to Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
because Jerusalem is a very unique city. It's a city that brings together the ancient, the past, the present, and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And inside our book, My Jerusalem, we have one of the stories that brings us the future is by a person called Ziv Aviram.
Yes.
And he is the founder of a company called Mobileye. And it's a company that everybody told him he has no chance of founding it and making it a success in Jerusalem because most of the high tech in Israel is in the Tel Aviv area. And he and his partner insisted having the company and starting it in Jerusalem. And just about 6 months ago, they sold it out to Intel for $15 billion.
Oh, my.
The highest price any Israeli company ever got. And now they're working on already on a new company. And I think it shows that within the ancient, within the old, there's a lot of innovation coming out of. And I think that Jerusalem is a center of a lot of happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if all goes well, it will be the center of and the beginning of peace in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of amazing how the city retains its tradition and its oldness, let's say, and then it's also very technologically advanced and new. That must be a fascinating meeting there of two different worlds.
You touched the right point, and that's what I think makes it such a special city, that you expect to see all these ancient monumental mm-hmm. buildings, and when you walk through Jerusalem, you see everything, because mm-hmm. it is a modern city. It has a beautiful modern city. It has a theater. It has a music place. I mean, it has everything that you would expect in a modern city.
Yes.
But it's within this ancient city that you can feel the history of over 2,000 years as you walk along.
Okay. As you know, the president of these United States, I fail to like to mention his name, has made a proclamation and has recognized Jerusalem as a special situation. Has it indeed caused conflict? Has it indeed caused some unrest in the area?
Look, the answer to that question is a very, I think it depends on where you come from politically.
All right.
And I would say, from my point, I believe that what the president of the United States did was exactly what he should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And those who oppose it have to think to a certain extent of what they expect from a president, because he promised this throughout the elections, throughout his campaign, and now he lived up to his promise. And normally politicians do not live up to their promises, because at the campaign they promise everything. And when they become presidents, they suddenly forget everything and everybody, and now they do whatever they want to do. So on that level, I think, as an American, I would say, wow, regardless if I like the decision or I don't like the decision, I at least can, I would say, can give credit to my president that he lived up to his promises. From the point of view of the area here, I think that one of the issues we have to remember and we have to look at all the time, when you have very high and wrong expectations and you don't see reality, then you become very disappointed. And I think the Arabs around us, unfortunately, have never missed an opportunity not to see reality. Mm-hmm. The reality is that there is a Jewish state here. The reality is that we're here to stay. The reality is that Jerusalem is the only capital of Israel. A people decide what their capital city is. My neighbor cannot decide for us and for me which city is my capital.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem has been the capital of Jews for over 2,000 years. It's been the capital since the creation of the state. And only in foreign books does it say that sometimes that Tel Aviv is the capital of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
There was never a decision in Israel made other than Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. And I believe that if we want peace in this area, our neighbors have to recognize, the world has to follow Donald Trump, the President of the United States, and agree to move all the embassies into Jerusalem, and then this will become the center of peace of the Middle East and the whole world. And the sooner they recognize this, the better off the whole world and certainly the Middle East will be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that may be true on Trump's view of that particular situation, but on his view of everything else, it's going to be cataclysmic, but not as far as Jerusalem is concerned necessarily. I'm talking about the rest of his proclamations that may come true would be horrific for this country. But that's a political statement that I'm making. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. But that's a whole different subject, and I want to concentrate on Jerusalem.
Yes, I know.
And on our book, I'm not going to the American politics. The only reason I mentioned it when you asked is that I want to say that when a president, when he promises something,
mm-hmm.
you know, we expect people to live up to their promises. And again, we have in Israel prime ministers who I did not vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And what bothers me is when they promise something, they don't live up to it. Mm. Because if they promise something, they don't live up to it, then I can't trust them with anything else.
Yeah.
So I think we have to judge politicians by that, and we have to hope that they're doing the best thing for our country. And again, sometimes it's against our political views, but I have always said, at least in Israel, even if it was not the prime minister who I elected, I always wanted them to succeed, because their success in the end
right.
should hopefully become the success of my country.
Hopefully that would be the design. Unfortunately, in this last election, the vote was against somebody else and not for somebody. But we shouldn't be talking about this. This is an incredible book, though, aside all of that. It is indeed an incredible book. And the photographs are phenomenal. And the stories and the insights from various contributors, it really is quite impressive. I've not seen anything like it in quite some time as far as that's concerned.
Thank you. I'd like to quote a couple of quotes from the book. One
yes.
of them is by Sir Winston Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
And Winston Churchill said, "You ought to let the Jews have Jerusalem. It was they who made it famous." And this is not something new. These are the British mm-hmm. who knew that Jerusalem is the capital of Jerusalem. And then Elie Wiesel, who was a very famous author, a Holocaust mm-hmm. survivor, who just passed away this past year, he wrote, "Jerusalem, the city which miraculously transforms man into pilgrim. No one can enter it and go away unchanged." And what I think that this book tries to show is, regardless whether you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or any other religion, regardless if you're religious or not religious, when you walk through the Jerusalem, when you visit Jerusalem, there's some sort of transformation that you go through. And I think that's maybe the beauty and the uniqueness of Jerusalem. People come into Jerusalem and they leave different people, and usually much better people.
It is total inspiration and total spirit. There's no question about that. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. The book is available here on Amazon and in many bookstores as well. The hard copy does make an incredible gift.
Thank you. I think it's a beautiful gift for Christmas, mm-hmm. and it can bought, as you said, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. and also on our website, which is easy to remember. It's myjerusalemus.com. And as I said, I would hope that everybody would get a copy for Christmas, and before next year of Christmas, that they will all come and visit. And when they visit, our offices are in Jerusalem mm-hmm. of Geffen Publishing. I welcome every one of them to come.
Right. It's almost a little bit beyond Christmas here now, but it's, again, as I said at the top, it's Christmas every day as far as giving a gift of this type to somebody.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Ilan, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Ilan Greenfield, My Jerusalem, The Eternal City. It is quite a book. Thank you so much for
Thank
your time
you.
Today.
Thank you, and shalom from Jerusalem.
Thank you so much. So what time do you start drinking in Israel?
Do we start drinking? I don't drink. I drink a lot of water.
Okay.
But our Sabbath starts today at 4:15.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Great.
So you have a good day and a happy new year.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to take a warm bath right now. That's not true. I don't take baths. I'll take a warm shower. I don't take warm baths. Then you're just lying in your own filth. And I don't think that's what was intended when you were supposed to take a bath. You're supposed to like clean yourself, but you're lying in your own dead skin. So let's not do that, okay? Hey, make that your 2018 resolution, and just that. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Hopefully I'll sound a little bit better. But until then, I wish you peace.